truetalk.com.
Good morning and welcome to True Talk. This is your host, Samar Jarrah. We're going to be opening the phone lines and getting your views on this new Congress and the interesting fact that a Palestinian-American and a Muslim-American, Somali-American became members of Congress. Listen to this music by Palestinian Muhammad Assaf. And the computer is not working. Muhammad Assaf is a Palestinian and he won prize for Arab Idol. And this song is called Dami Falastini. Listen to Muhammad Assaf.
على عهدي على ديني على أرض تلاقيني أنا لأهلي أنا فديهم أنا دمي فلسطيني 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 أنا دمي فلسطيني
And welcome to True Talk. This is your host, Samar Jarrah. I am back from my trip to the Middle East. And as usual, I have a cold. Every time when I travel, this happens to me. But usually a bronchitis because people smoke a lot. But this time, I have to say that Delta Airlines is the guilty culprit here. They really blast very cold air on their flight. So it's just a cold, not a bronchitis this time. I should say Merry Christmas to our listeners and Happy New Year. I was away when all these amazing events took place, but I was here in the past week to witness this amazing Congress, the 116th Congress, and we're going to be talking about it. And of course, I welcome back my co-host who took a sabbatical and is back. And I'm very excited that he was able to cover my absence and I didn't have to work so hard while traveling. But I'm going to be opening the phone lines because it's been a while since I heard your lovely voices, our supporters and supporters of True Talk and supporters of WMNF. Gonna open the phone lines and I'm gonna take your phone calls and your emails at dj@wmnf.org, dj@wmnf.org. I'm sure you were watching the news and the coverage yesterday of the swearing in of the new members of the 116th Congress, which will start work from, or started work from January 3rd, 2019 to January 3rd, 2021. And very interesting statistics. I was doing some audio for the Arab World that I post on Twitter in order to explain to them the interesting statistics about this Congress and why is it unique. Interesting enough, we have 102 women who joined the Congress, and this has not happened before. So as a woman, of course, this is very interesting because, you know, let me just pull out here. It's very interesting, of course, to have more women represented in the Congress. There are a lot of statistics, but as a Palestinian, I would say the fact that the first Palestinian American has been elected is a very, very unique and important aspect to me personally, and to the Arab world and to the Palestinians in the occupied territories as well as in the diaspora. I'm going to explain that and the significance of it from an Arabic point of view later on. But also we also have the first Somali woman, and who happens also to be Muslim, to be elected. And what's special about the Somali Ilhan Omar is that she came to America about 23 years ago. She landed with her father and from a refugee camp in Kenya. She was born in Somalia, but because of the war in Somalia, she and her father and family became refugees in Kenya. And then from Kenya, they were able to come to the country. And they have contributed to the degree of her running for election and becoming a representative of her, I think, in Minnesota. Her district in Minnesota. And what's interesting about Rashida and about Ilhan is that most of the people who elected them were not Arab Americans or Muslim Americans. Actually, in the district of Ilhan Omar, the higher percentage of American Jews elected her. And the reason is because their platform was progressive. They're both from the Democratic Party. They are very progressive, and they constantly talk about healthcare, about raising the minimum wage, about education, about issues really that matters to every American, including healthcare. You know that my husband is a physician, and we were having a conversation a couple of days ago because I was telling him it's the season and you're busy. And he says, yeah, but it doesn't mean that I am making as much money as before. And I said, why? And he said, because there are so many indigenous people, or there are people, so many people who have no healthcare whatsoever, no insurance, and they are in this gap between Medicare and health insurance. And he's doing an average of an operation every couple of days for people who can't afford to pay him. And he says he has never seen, in his 30 years practice in Florida, he has never seen this hike where he's working more hours and making less money because there are more people who fall in this gap between Medicare. They're not yet at the age of where they can get Medicaid, or they can apply for Medicaid and they have no insurance, can't afford insurance, or if they have insurance, it's extremely not effective, actually, not enough to pay for hospital stay, So Ilhan and Rashida, like many other progressives who ran for Congress and won, are considered progressive. I think there are, out of the Democrats, there are 25 who are considered very progressive and who may have different effects when it comes to these issues. Now, out of all these 42 women, one from the Democratic Party, 42 more women have joined the Congress, come from the Democratic Party. I have some statistics here. Let me start reading. As I said, we have the first Korean American elected, first two Native Americans elected, first Palestinian, first Somali, and first refugee, and first two Muslim women. And as I mentioned, 25 people who were elected from the Democratic Party are progressive. Four of them won in areas that Trump won in his elections. We have about... in the House of Representatives, we have 333 men, 102 women. No, 55 are black, 44 are Hispanic, 15 are Asian. We have 102 women. We have four Indians. And it's interesting that when they use the holy books to swear in, which is symbolic, really, they used the Bible, they used the Quran, they used holy books that the Buddhists, Hindus use, and some people did not use anything. 6% of the members of the new members of the Congress and the whole makeup of Congress are Jews, and this is the highest percentage in the history of the Congress. 90% of the members of Congress are Christian, half of them are Protestant, one-third are Catholic, 6% are Jews, and the rest are from different religions or no religion. So these are the new statistics of this new Congress. Let me talk about a little bit about Ilhan Omar. As I mentioned, she came to this country while she was young, and she ran for office in Minnesota. And recently, she was sworn in yesterday as a member of her district. To know more about her, let's listen to an interview with her she did on The View. So listen to this, and as soon as we come back, I'm going to be opening the phone lines and taking your phone calls and comments. Again, the number here is 813-239-9663. 813-239-9663. The email is dj@wmnf.org. dj@wmnf.org. And those of you who are watching live on Twitter, I'm trying to read your tweets and trying to read your comments, and I'll do my best to listen to them. My handle on Twitter is Samar D. Jarrah. Samar, S-A-M-A-R, the letter D, and then J-A-R-R-A-H. And people are asking me how I'm doing. I'm doing very well, given the fact I have a cold. Listen to an interview with Ilhan Omar, the first American Somali refugee to be elected to the Congress. This is True Talk on WMNF.org.
Muslim women elected to Congress, and we're talking to one of them right now. Joining us via satellite from Minneapolis, Minnesota, is Congresswoman-elect Ilhan Omar. Happy, happy win to you. Congratulations on your first gigantic win. You are the first Somali American ever elected. So, how you feeling this morning?
Good morning, Whoopi, and the rest of you. I feel really happy, very excited and honored to have the opportunity to represent my people, the people of the Fifth, in Congress soon. Congresswoman-elect, congratulations from everyone at this table. You have a really interesting story. You came to this country as an immigrant at the age of 12. You didn't speak any English. What message of hope about last night, about your victory, do you hope to send to everyone this morning?
So my message to people is that if you work hard and you believe in creating positive change within your community, you can achieve anything.
That's quite a message. Congresswoman-elect Omar, this is Sunny Hostin. During your campaign, you faced Islamophobic attacks. Did it ever deter you? Were you ever scared?
I mean, we are living in an era, really, when we have people who are in positions of influence who look at someone like me, who's Muslim, who is a woman, a black woman, an immigrant, a refugee, and don't recognize me as an American. And so there is lots of opportunities for people who harbor hate to use that. But I have always said I don't defend my identities. What I defend is ideas. And once we are in position to have conversations with people, it makes it hard for them to hate us up close. And that is what our triumph and our victory is really about.
That's right. Congratulations. This is Joy Behar talking to you. Trump's closing message was about stoking fear and division. Everybody who's watching knows that, with that caravan stuff that he kept pushing out there and pushing it, which a lot of people say it worked in many districts in the country. Now, you've said there's no debate on whether Trump is a racist. You have made that statement. Can you elaborate for us, please? Convince us why he's a racist.
So, you know, we see clearly today with all the winds, actually, that there is a rejection of the politics of fear and divisiveness, that this is really a country that welcomes people and treats them like family. And we don't only just welcome refugees and immigrants, but we send them to Washington. But with Trump and the fact that I recognize him as someone who is a racist, is that I go back to that Maya Angelou quote that says, if they tell you who they are, believe them the first time. This has been someone who has cozied up to white nationalists, who has called people who look like me and come from the country that I came from really horrible things that I can't repeat on a friendly daytime TV. And so we should recognize him as what he is and move, I think, the conversation beyond him, beyond this divisiveness, and to a place of hope and inclusion, and that is really what this election has been about. We have seen here in Minnesota a lot of the folks who were running on his politics lost. We've had a really great night and a great morning because we decided to use the politics of joy and vote with our warm hearts, even though it's a cold state.
Good one.
Congresswoman, first of all, congratulations. You made history last night, and that's incredible. And I think there's a lot of people watching you this morning that probably see you as the face of the future of the Democratic Party. 87 congressional candidates declined to support Nancy Pelosi for Speaker of the House. Are you one of them? And should Nancy Pelosi still be the leader of your party?
So Nancy really has been someone that I have admired, that I know to be someone who works really hard. And I think there's a really amazing cohort of young, bold, progressive members of our caucus who are going to come together to have a discussion about the direction of the Democratic Party. And I look forward to being part of that conversation and deciding really who is a fit to lead our party and the agenda that we want to accomplish for the American people.
Is it fair for me to say you're not completely sold on her remaining
the leader?
I am currently thinking about what it really means for us to accomplish what we campaigned on last night at our DFL rally at the Democratic headquarters. I said we made lots of promises. We've invited people to participate in our democracy. And for the next 2 years, 4 years, 6 years, we have to get to work in delivering that for them. And so I am open to having conversation with people who I think might be able to help us move that agenda.
Congratulations.
If you're just joining us, this is True Talk on WMNF 88.5 FM, and you just listened to an interview with Ilhan Omar, who was just sworn in as a member of the Congress. She is an American who came to this country 23 years ago from Kenya, from a refugee camp in Kenya. She's originally born in Somalia and became a congresswoman. And I'm not sure why my co-host is so lucky. He always ends up at the important places. I end up working here at WMNF, and Ahmed ends up in Washington, D.C., witnessing history. Good morning, co-host.
Good morning, Summer. How are you?
I am very good, alhamdulillah. I have a bit of a cold, and luckily my brother drove me to the studios here, so I'm not too tired. But I'm so envious, because yesterday you were tweeting and Facebooking and interviewing so many people, and you were at the Congress. So can you tell us a little bit about yesterday?
Well, it was an exciting day, historic moment. I was really happy to be part of it. You know, I, for the past 10 years, as you know, since leaving CARE, I've been working to encourage Arabs and Muslims and South Asians and people of color to be more involved in the political process. Sometimes it's an uphill battle, especially with children of immigrants that come from some of the countries, like the country I was born in, Egypt, where it lacks democracy. And many of these Muslim majority countries, you know, lack democratic freedoms, where they see democracy or politics as something that's corrupt or for a certain group of people, and they stay away from it. So trying to encourage people to run for office, to be involved in politics, has been a challenge. So yesterday, seeing the results of the first two Muslim women, coming in sworn into Congress is a historic moment that I wanted to be there to witness it. Especially, I did support these candidates. I helped them, to mobilize and to also raise money, because I know the importance of it. We need the civil rights organizations. We need the grassroots organizations. But we also need people that look like us to be in Congress. The idea that Congress should reflect the diversity of America. And definitely America is not just a bunch, is not only led by or include only white men. So having the first or the most diverse class to enter Congress in history is something to be proud of. And I think it's a game changer even in the time of Trump. So I really wanted to be there, and I was proud and happy to witness it. And I was tweeting and posting on my social media all these events that were happening. I ran into Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Rashida Tlaib, and Ilhan Omar, and many others. And there's a lot of energy, a lot of excitement. You know, all 435 members were being sworn in, but and they're all, their offices are, you know, in different office buildings on Capitol Hill. But the most excitement that I saw in the halls were around these new progressive members of Congress, like Rashida, like Alexandria, like Ilhan. That had the most visitors. It had the most excitement. They were basically blocking the halls outside their offices. People were just wanting to take pictures with them. They wanted to be part of the moment. So it was really exciting to see.
Another thing I noticed with your feed yesterday, Ahmed, is that some other members of Congress, the older guard, came to the offices and to congratulate Rashida and Ilhan. Did you see? Can you tell me, do you remember any of the names?
I mean, Steny Hoyer, who is probably the number two person in Congress, right under Nancy Pelosi, and Clyburn, leader in the Democratic Party with Nancy Pelosi. They were making the rounds. They were visiting these new freshmen they're coming with their entourage. I witnessed them going to Rashida's office to congratulate them. So, yeah, of course, they're embracing. They have no choice. The party is shifting. They see the excitement and the energy, especially at the grassroots behind these members of Congress, this new freshman class, and they want to also appear to at least that they embrace them, they welcome them. And it's one of the reasons why they were able to take back the House, a lot of these new faces. So it's definitely exciting. One of the exciting things, especially, also is Rashida. She is a Palestinian woman who's proud of her heritage. And, you know, she came dressed in this traditional Palestinian thobe, which is a Palestinian dress that has been worn by Palestinian women for generations. And she proudly wore it there. It was so exciting to see so many other people, especially Palestinians, that also wore their thobe in solidarity. And even people that did not come to Capitol Hill yesterday, remotely, they were proudly displaying and wearing their thobe. It became like their Palestinian dress day worldwide, and people were showing it off. I think I even saw that you posted a picture of your thobe. It was exciting and it was different to see so much color. Walking in, also, I saw, you know, Native American dress. People were coming in dressed in their Native American and traditional clothing. Ilhan Omar, for example, wore a traditional dress from Africa as well, from her native Somalia. So really exciting to see that. Ilhan Omar swore in on a Quran, her grandfather's Quran, who she wished was there to witness it. Rashida swore in on Thomas Jefferson's Quran, that's basically housed in the Library of Congress. So a lot of historic firsts yesterday, and I was really happy to be there.
If you're just joining us, this is True Talk on WMNF 88.5 FM, and Ahmed, my co-host, and myself, Samar, are talking about Ahmed attending some of the events that took place in Washington, D.C. yesterday, which was, of course, the swearing-in of the new Congress, the 116th. And it was very unique, Ahmed, because there are more women, historically speaking, I mean, since the beginning of the time we had a Congress here in America. Did you notice that there are more women? And the other thing I noticed is that there were so many children and grandchildren. Is that usually something that happens all the time and I missed it all these past years?
I mean, there was a lot more excitement and more participation and more visibility for this swearing in. Perhaps because they see this as a point of relief, a point of excitement, of resistance, that this is a way to save our democracy from what we witnessed for the past 2 years, that there was unchecked power of the president, that there was no one in Congress standing up to him. So people, it was almost being treated not necessarily at the same level at the swearing in or the inauguration of the president, but this was almost took on a life of its own, like an inauguration for the House, because they see how essential and important this change is, that the Democratic Party took back the House, not necessarily just because they want the Democrats back in, but they need somebody to do some oversight to make sure our government works, because it works based on checks and balances. And without that, not having that for the past couple of years, obviously showed weakness and problems and loopholes within our government. When you have a Congress that will not do anything to stop the president, as crazy and ridiculous that he's been acting, so people were showing and wanted to, I guess, show their support for this Congress. And family members and people that were entering in wanted to bring their family members to witness this history. And even supporters brought their children so they can witness this historic moment, because they wanted to be part of it. So it was really nice to see all of that.
I want to remind our listeners that they can send their comments to dj@wmnf.org, to dj@wmnf.org, and they can start calling us 813-239-9663, 813-239-9663. I know, Ahmed, you're busy, and you, whenever you need to leave, just let me know. And I want to ask you, I'm not sure if you follow the Twitter feed in the Arabic language, but yesterday I was tweeting the whole time about the Congress in general and, you know, about the makeup of it and the number of women, the number of Jews, Buddhists, Hindus, Muslims, all these facts. And many people were telling me, I shouldn't say many, but a few people were saying in the Arabic language, Ilhan, why are you celebrating Ilhan and Rashida? Yes, they may be Muslim, but they will never be favoring any policies that are positive to the Arab world. Of course, it depends who is writing, and some people are very angry with Ilhan and Rashida because they took a stand after the assassination of the Saudi journalist Khashoggi. So people are mixed in the Arab world, and some, for instance, are seeing this as really there is democracy in spite of Islamophobia, in spite of the rhetoric of Trump on immigration, that at the end of the day, if you stand up for your rights, if you follow the rights of the Constitution or the rights that the Constitution gives you, you may end up in the Congress. Did you get any of such negative feedback? And what do you say to people who say that Ilhan and Rashida will never be able to change anything vis-a-vis the Arab causes and issues?
These are the same people that said Ilhan and Rashida will never make it to in office, that this Congress or this country is too biased, too racist to allow for such a move. I told Ilhan's father yesterday, I'm so happy that you chose to come to America as a refugee. Refugees don't have a lot of choices in where they go, but they can, when they get an opportunity, when they're in a refugee camp, they give them a choice to go to a country and they can say yes or no. It's not like they pick from a list. Say, okay, you've been granted to be able to immigrate and be relocated to the United States. Do you accept yes or no without giving them a different option? So they could have said, no, I'd rather stay in a refugee camp, but they chose to come to America. Had they gone to be a refugee in a Muslim country, Ilhan would never have been in Congress or in politics. The fact that she came to America is that opportunity. Just like the same way Barack Obama's father had immigrated, gone and had a child in one of these Muslim majority countries, Barack Obama himself, whose heritage is Kenyan, would never have been president of those countries. This is only available in the United States, despite all the problems we have, despite all the racism and the bias and the injustice. It's for the most part far better to be a U.S. citizen here than, especially even as a person of color or as an immigrant, than most of these other places outside, I guess, of Europe. With that said, that people had doubts about whether they could make it or not. In fact, Rashida yesterday said to me, she appreciated the fact that myself and some of my other friends believed in her from the beginning and supported her, despite others saying that, that she had no chance, that she could never win, that an Arab woman, Palestinian heritage, is not going to make it in Congress, that now is not the time, that wait your turn. But we believed in her from the beginning, and now there's a lot of people celebrating, and she's getting so many followers on social media, but that wasn't always the case. In fact, Ilhan Omar herself, and this is kind of what may surprise some people, when she first ran, because she ran and she became a member of the state house in Minnesota, when she first ran, let's backtrack. Before she ran for the state house in Minnesota, she was working on a campaign of a Somali American man in Minneapolis to run for office to unseat this woman who had been there for 42 years. He came very close, within less than 100 votes or so, of winning the person she was helping, her friend that was running for office. He lost. She, when the re-election was coming around 2 years later, she was trying to recruit others to run against her because she really wanted to unseat this dinosaur that had been there for so long in the state house in Minnesota. And she was going around trying to recruit people to run against her. And people said, well, she couldn't find anybody. And they told her, why don't you run? Ilhan, why don't you run? She ended up running against this now 44-year incumbent. I forgot her name because most of the time forget the losers of elections. What that woman did, because there is a sizable now refugee population, Somali refugee population, who are now citizens in that district, that same 44-year incumbent, what did she do? Feeling the threat from Ilhan, she went and recruited the same candidate that Ilhan worked for in the first election to enter the race. So it became a three-way race, hoping that the Somali community would split the vote among Ilhan and the other Somali man, and the 44-year incumbent will retain her position. And the man did enter, I forgot his name as well, he did enter the race, and it became a three-way race. And the majority of the Somalis and the majority of the Muslims, unfortunately, in Minnesota or in Minneapolis, in that district, supported the man, whether it's because of misogyny, whether it's because the man had a bigger name in the community because he ran before. And she told me that 95% of the Somali vote at that time went to the man, the Somali man. In fact, she could hardly even get into the mosques, for example, because he had such a, you know, he was so popular in the Somali community. What did Ilhan do? She went and pursued the progressive vote, the Democratic vote, and she chipped away from voters that had voted for the 44-year incumbent, past supporters. And eventually, she beat both of them. And she won despite, you know, so it wasn't, she didn't necessarily win because of the Somali community or the Arab community, because people doubted, even within her own community, whether it's because of, you know, inferiority complex or whatever it may, or, you know, people who were colonized, or they didn't think that a woman could win. Maybe it wasn't her time because she was much younger. But she won. She defeated both. She, you know, disproved everyone else, and she became victorious. And, you know, a similar story happened again when she ran for Congress. So these people continue to show and shut down the critics, but not necessarily going after voters and supporters within their own communities, but talking about the issues that affect all Americans. So when you talk about the Muslims are criticizing, especially in the Muslim world, they don't understand politics, they don't understand democracy because they don't have it. But what they are doing, they're inspiring, especially women within Muslim-majority countries, to say, you know, if these women could win in America and go into Congress, well, what's holding us back? So that's even encouraging young women and young girls in Palestine, in Somalia, throughout the Muslim world, that they themselves should be more empowered, and you know that they should seek some sort of office, and it will lead to some change in the future.
I'm glad you mentioned that background of Ilhan, because at the beginning of the show I was saying that according to reports and statistics, both Rashida and Ilhan were elected by a far majority by Americans of no Arab or Muslim background, that they were elected because of their platform, and which is considered progressive. And I'm glad, and it's interesting because they face Ahmed and Arab women and Muslim women in America face double jeopardy. They have the whole system, you know, and then they have the their own communities sometimes doubting their power and their effectiveness. And I'm glad you also mentioned, you know, how, you know, the Arab world sees America in terms of black and white. For instance, one of the statistics that caught my attention is that 10% of the people who were elected and make up the Congress, the 116 Congress, 6% are Jews, and this is the highest number. And I stress that because in the Arab world, you know, whenever they do not approve of American foreign policy, they always say, oh, the Jews control the Congress. But now at least they have the statistics that 94% of the American Congress is not really Jewish. It is mainly Christian, mainly Protestant and Catholic, and you have Muslims and you have Buddhists and Hindus and people who don't believe in God, and you have Mormons, and you have people from all walks of life. So I hope that all this knowledge that we are, you and I, are spreading, whether on True Talk or when we do these live feeds and the conversation on Twitter, that people start to understand that America is complex. It cannot be understood in terms of black and white. It is way more complex. And I think this Congress, the reason I talk about it a lot. I do not expect any miracles, and I don't care if they impeach Trump or don't impeach Trump. That's not the point. The point is it shows that in the midst of Islamophobia and all this negative talk about immigration and banning Muslims from entering the country, the Constitution allows us the freedom to have this show, the freedom to criticize, the freedom to demonstrate, the freedom to practice religion, to go to the mosque or the synagogue or not to go, and also the freedom to run for election. And that's what I felt, Ahmed, and I felt very envious that you were there yesterday and I couldn't make it. What are the events that are taking place in Washington, D.C., revolving around Rashida and Ilhan? Anything planned?
I mean, there was a bunch of events last night, and they're going to continue. They are in such high demand. The media is focusing so much on these newcomers, especially ones with these unique stories. Imagine, Ilhan came, and she said this, they came to Washington, D.C. That's the first airport they came to 23 years ago as refugees. You know, she came as an 8-year-old girl, refugee. People who have nothing. And to come back to Washington, D.C. with her father, with her family, to the same airport, be sworn in into Congress. It's just an amazing story. I don't know how many previous refugees have come from that kind of background, that type of situation. You know, usually people have been through so much trauma, the last thing they want to do is to get involved in politics and actually succeed. Had they played the victim and said, you know what, I'm never going to win, they would never have been in office. So many people are just in love with these stories. There's a lot of media attention. There's so much demand for their time that they're getting invitations everywhere. There's so many organizations inviting them and highlighting their work. So there were many celebrations last night, but there are a lot of events that were set up that they couldn't go to because as soon as they were sworn in, they got to work. These Democrats were serious. They went into their program where there's a solution to open up the government again with that they voted on. So they had votes up until 10 p.m. last night. So they did attend some events last night, and they're continuing to attend events. And throughout the next week, they have these different forums, that they're speaking at, and they're making themselves accessible. And Ilhan Omar said, we're not coming here to play. We're coming here to, work and fulfill our role and our mandate. And you're right. They're coming on a progressive platform. It's not Muslim centric. They are celebrating their heritage, but they're saying, we're coming here with a mission. They're pushing for things like, Medicare for all, better health care, better access, pro-immigration, that you can't have this separation policy and treat children like how they're being treated at the border, et cetera. But I'm going to leave you to your listeners because I have to run now.
Okay.
I'll be back on the show next week.
Thank you so much, Ahmed, for your feed yesterday. It was very enjoyable, actually.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Take care.
Okay. That was my co-host. He's in Washington, D.C. He always gets to do the exciting stuff. And I get to do, of course, the most exciting stuff, which is taking for your phone calls. If you have any comment on anything of Ahmed, what Ahmed and I discussed, please call 813-239-9663. 813-239-9663. And we take your emails at dj@wmnf.org. We have about 11 minutes to go. dj@wmnf.org and the phone number 813-239-9663. Especially the part really I enjoyed talking to Ahmed is how the Arab world is seeing the new Congress. As I mentioned earlier, they do not see it as an independent body, and especially now after the election of Trump and all this negative media coverage of immigration, the border, the wall, Islamophobia, populist leaders being elected elsewhere in Europe and Latin America, people thought that, America is non-democratic. People usually send me on Twitter saying, you're celebrating always or mentioning that you live in a democracy, blah, 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 blah. The fact of the matter is that, no, Electing somebody like Trump, you all should leave. There is no space for you as Arabs and as Muslims and as Palestinians. But I think the fact that 102 women were elected to the Congress the first time in 200 years is significant. The fact that a Palestinian is elected, for God's sake, do you know how much Palestinian bashing happens all the time from a lot of people? So for her, Rashida, to become elected is fascinating to me. I'm going to go to the phone lines now. Again, 813-239-9663. Let me go to Danny in Tampa. Good morning, Danny.
Good morning. How are you? I haven't talked to you in a long time.
Yes, I know, Danny, but I hear your voice sometimes on Rob's show. You like Rob more than you like me, obviously. But that's
this is the year I think that Donald Trump will be impeached. He will be impeached either at the ballot box or by Congress. More likely, hopefully, the ballot box, because I still don't trust the Republicans. I don't think they'll ever go against him. But let me ask you something. What did you think about? Right. What's her, the new one? Rashida?
Rashida.
What did you think about her comment? Because I'm going to tell you a story about that. When she said, now we go in there and we impeach the mother blank.
Blah, blah, blah. Okay.
The reason I'm telling you that is because I heard a right-wing talk show host this morning for a few minutes. And this woman calls up from Michigan. And she says, oh, I am so embarrassed. I am so disgusted by that word that new incoming Muslim woman would ever have said. And the talk show host says, oh, it's that's the way they are. And I'm thinking, what hypocrisy. It's okay for Donald Trump to use any word that plus that plus 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 that he did during the campaign and all those rallies. And it just boggles the mind. It really does. I mean, it's just hypocrisy. Don't you agree?
I think, Danny, they will be very scrutinized and put under a very, very tight lens and every move and everything. I mean, she was caught up in the moment. Mm-hmm. And she was born here, grew up here and in a very poor area and working area. She has a lot of brothers. I'm not defending her in any way, shape or form. I do not use these four-letter words, especially in public, but she's a human being and she has her faults and she has her mistakes, and I'm sure she will do a lot of mistakes, but she is herself, and that's why maybe she was elected. And I've heard her before, like in her speeches before, people were interested in covering her where she's talking to young people, and she used the S word and the B word and the F word, and it didn't seem to be an obstacle at the time. She was using a lot of four words.
Let me leave you with this. What do you think about Ocasio-Cortez? What is your opinion about her?
She's young, and I love young people, and I love the fact that she dances and she can do. I mean, now dancing is a bad thing.
What's wrong with that? I think Bernie Sanders. She used to had ties with Bernie Sanders. Summer, I want to wish you a happy New Year.
Thank you, Danny. I appreciate it. You know, the second day I arrived to America, I went to a dancing party. So dancing was okay, and I was trying my gosh to figure out how it was a New Year's Eve in 1989. The first thing I did in America was dance. So, but again, they'll be under a lot of scrutiny. Not that I endorse four-letter words in any shape or form, but being Muslim or being atheist doesn't mean that you have to use or not use a word. I was in there, but Ahmed was there, and he says, she speaks so fast, and she was caught in the moment, and I'm sure people were going to be upset at what she said, but that's not the gist of what is happening. What is happening is very positive in my point of view, and it has nothing to do with impeaching or not impeaching the president. It has to do that we uphold the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and the right to speak and the right to demonstrate and the right to criticize without fearing arrest. Let me go to Julie in Tampa. Good morning, Julie. You're on True Talk.
Good morning, Summer. This is Julie. Sister Julie from the Tampa community.
Hi, Julie. Can you lower the
beeping?
Yes. Yeah. Okay, Julie. Yes. Good morning, sister.
How are you, sister?
Alhamdulillah. Thank God. I'm very well.
Juma Mubarak.
Thank you so much.
I just wanted to compliment both of you, Summer and Ahmed, on the good job you've been doing in our community for teaching about the democratic process and the rights and responsibilities for the citizens here. We do have a unique system of diversity and the democratic process, which is amazing. The more I learn, the more I'm astounded.
You mean in the U.S. or where?
In the U.S. I've talked to imams. I've talked to sisters and brothers from around the world. And we do have an awesome, awesome country. I believe in United We Stand. I'm very, very proud of the sister, the first Muslim that's been, you know.
Rashida and Ilhan, the first two Muslim women. Of course, there were three Muslim men. The first one was Keith Ellison, from Minnesota. But the fact that, to me personally, the fact that a Palestinian woman was elected and was able to highlight the thobe, the traditional dress that everybody steals from us and attributes to their own new country, like Israel, they would sometimes display the thobe as if it's their heritage, although, you know, it is very much Palestinian and very much Arabic and very much related to where you come from Palestine. Like if you're from Gaza, the stitches are different. If you're from Ramallah, the color of the stitches are different. So to me, as a Palestinian, it proves that, yes, we do have a wonderful system. It's not perfect. It has many faults and negative things about it. But really, when a Palestinian can reach the American Congress, I find this to be a cause for celebration. I hope you agree with me, Sister Julie.
I agree with you so much. I'm very close to the Palestinians. My family is Palestinian by marriage. My husband, very close to them. I come from, a mixed American heritage. I have a Cherokee that I hold on to that culture very strongly, which was passed down from my great-grandmother through my grandfather and my uncle to me. And so there's a lot of similarities. I don't believe like my husband is a first-generation Palestinian, and he's very successful because he's taking advantage of the opportunities that are presented here.
Yes.
He's not oppressed here. That's how he feels.
Yes, of course. Thank you so much, Sister Julie, and thanks for supporting True Talk and for tuning in and listening to our show.
Sure, anytime. Take care.
Thank you. For our listeners, Ahmed and I have been doing this show for the past, my math is terrible, maybe 16 or 17 years. We don't get paid, and we simply raise funds to help WMNF stay on the air. Neither Ahmed nor I get paid in order to do this show, but we feel it's a gift to be able to speak our mind. And those who listen to us, they know that we are very critical most of the time of U.S. foreign policy when it comes to the Arab world and from the administration's policies towards minorities and immigrants and refugees and the wall and all that. But at the same time, we know how lucky we are and how fortunate we are to have freedom of speech and the ability to run for office or to have a radio show. The only drawback my family, I think, feels is that how come I work in America and I drive 100 miles each way and not get paid? But what can I say? At least it keeps my mind working. I want to thank you for listening to True Talk and remind you to tune in next week at 10 a.m. on WMNF. .org. Let me leave you with the Palestinian song by Mohammed Assaf, Dami Falastini, My Blood is Palestinian, in celebration of the fact that Rashida Tlaib was the first Palestinian to be elected to the American Congress. This is True Talk on WMNF 88.5 FM.
على ديني على أرض تلاقيني أنا نهلي أنا فديهم أنا دمي فلسطيني 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 أنا دمي فلسطيني
Live.